This is, again, the character that he's talking about here in Psalm 112. These are the things that contribute to him being this righteous character, that when the time comes, evil news, evil tidings comes his way, he doesn't unravel. He faces them. He takes them, well, fine, I'm going to trust God. I've made my choice. I'm trusting the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, except this, I'm trusting God. He understands. He does something with what he understands. How much theology is packed into that?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special message called Unafraid, Not Unraveling. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. And now here's Pastor Rick as he continues with his message called Unafraid, Not Unraveling in the book of Psalms, chapter 112.
We always side with God, even against ourselves and, if necessary, against loved ones. That doesn't mean that we have to be hostile towards anyone. It just means we side with God. That's how the Levites got to be the priests. They sided with God by standing next to Moses when it was time for judgment on those who were in idolatry. This character here in Psalms 111 and 112 is a family man who defended and provided for his home. Look at verse 2 and 3 of Psalm 112. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. What Proverbs 31 is to that faithful wife, Psalm 112, in some respects, is to that faithful husband. But it certainly goes beyond that to all believers. And even Proverbs 31, which speaks about this faithful wife, there are some things that apply to us. For instance, we're told in Proverbs 31 that she's not afraid of snow. It's true. See, I'm not afraid of snow. See, it applies. I think there should have been a little bit more enthusiasm in the laughter. The chuckling is just not where you're capable of more, and we'll work on that as we grow as a congregation. Upright in heart, ready to help others. Verses 4 and 5, unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. In verse 5 of Psalm 112 now, he says, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion, makes right decisions, at least knows the value of making a right decision as opposed to being impulsive. Slow it down, kid, he says to himself. Think this through. And then make your decision, make your move. So you don't have to look back later and say, I should have thought through that. We all have to do that at some point, but we try to reduce the amount of times that we have to go back and patch up some mistake we did not make. I don't know, just saying, using that word patch up, I had a childhood memory of how many times we had to patch our bicycle tires. We used to carry around a kit of patches and how many miles we put on our bicycles. But such is life, is it not? Patching up things that spring leaks while you're on the move. Listen to Isaiah 33:15's description of a righteous man. There's some characteristics in this that have everything to do with not being afraid of bad tidings. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. I don't want to hear anymore, he says. Turn the news off. Enough with that. It's negative, negative, negative. They never tell you the good. They overwhelm you with this to the point where you begin to unravel. Because someone else is controlling the current. And what's coming through is decided by somebody who does not love your Lord, but who loves iniquity. I love that part. He gestures with his hands. I don't want that. Yeah, just instantly. This character in Psalm 112, because of his righteousness, he's targeted. He's targeted because he is righteous, not unrighteous. Look at verse 10. The wicked will see it and be grieved. See what? How he is exalted through his righteousness. The life that he lives. Because his life is a rebuke to those who want to be free from the authority of God so they can do whatever evil they want. The wicked will see it and be grieved. Verse 10, he will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. In the end, the righteous are left standing. Even when they have been burned at the stake, they are the souls that will be left standing. And of this man, the psalmist says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting Yahweh. Well, I have trusted the Lord, and there have been times when things just have not turned out the way that I thought. And yet, here I am, still trusting. And you too. Same is said about you. Unafraid, by faith. Not a courage that the world whips up, that's transient, lasts for one lifetime, and then it rots. Preservatives that belong to our faith are spiritual, they are divine, they come from the throne of God. So powerful and important is the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives that Jesus said, you can say negative things about the Father, you can say negative things about the Son, but you better not mess with the Holy Spirit of God. And what he is saying is, when God comes up close and personal to you, and you chase him away, you are digging yourself a grave you cannot climb out of. That tells the believer so much. We need not be terrified by that verse. We need to be encouraged because we have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit by chasing him away. We have received him. We call upon him. We search for him. When we struggle, where is the Spirit of God? When we're dry and we don't feel like singing, we say, Lord, where is the Holy Spirit? So be encouraged at these things. The secret of steadfast courage is making a choice to trust God no matter what. Unafraid because, not simply unafraid, but because you have a delight in the Lord. You know who he is. That signals to others, when you say, I am delighted in the Lord, that sends this signal, I am friends with God. How can you be delighted with anyone if there's no friendship there? If the person is unfriendly towards you, you can fake it, but you're not delighted, not at all. And how many people on earth are not friends with God? How many people on earth don't even know what it looks like to be a friend with God until hopefully they see a believer? And hopefully that believer is not a sourpuss, walking around, dragging their knuckles on the ground all the time. Woe is me, my sorrows. Not that we don't have sorrows. Not that there are not times that we can say to some trusted friend, I hurt. I'm struggling with this. It's okay. It does not say everything there is to say about your faith because you meet with hard times and you struggle. David at one point in the psalm said, oh, that I had wings, I could fly away. In another psalm he says, how can you say to my soul, fly away? That's why we love the psalms. They're so hard to teach from, I think, because they express life's experiences outside of a classroom environment. It's life itself. That's why I think the readers get more from the psalms we do when we just read them. We begin to get the blessings because we can identify whether they're happy times or sad times or times of getting ready. Psalm 119, it builds you up. I love Psalm 138, verse 2. It says that God has honored his word above his name. How dynamic does that become when we then read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? And Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons scratch their heads because they don't want that to be true. And we know it is true. Delighted because he knows that God is right, even when men disagree and dislike what God is permitting. Me too. As a believer, there are times I disagree. Well, disagree in the sense that I don't like it. But faith overcomes that. What other criteria can God use to establish who's really trusting him and who is not? If we got everything we wanted in this life, that things never went wrong for us, I'd rather them go wrong for other people so I could minister to them. But not wrong for me. I don't like to draw attention to myself. Although when I'm in the pulpit, I don't feel it's me so much. I'm the dummy, the wooden dummy. He's the one doing all the talking through his word. A few weeks ago, I went to a dermatologist just to get the little mole that was growing under my eyelid. And I just think better get rid of it early. And so while I'm there, I say, hey, why are you here? Why don't you take care of this and that? He's sure. Chick-ching, chick-ching. And he's taking them off. And then he slaps these humongous Band-Aids on me. I mean, it was the loudest color you could find. And there I am looking like someone. And so I had a hospital call that day. Everybody's looking for a bed for me when I walk in. And it's just, you know, it's just, Lord, is this really necessary? I mean, will this make me a better man? No, but it's kind of funny from heaven's point of view. Look at you. Even still, I've got something trying to clear up. It's like, oh, man, when is this going to go away? And the thought is, what if it doesn't? Oh, man, more faith. Got to use faith. I don't want to use faith. But that's life. Sometimes when things aren't going bad, we still have struggles. Sometimes they're going good. We know this might not last. Well, it won't, but that's all right. We're not discouraged by this knowledge. Psalm 111 now, verse 7. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. Notice that emphasis, forever and ever. And are done in truth and righteousness. The works of his hands are true and just. And then it says, are done in truth and uprightness. Helps to remember that. This is, again, the character that he's talking about here in Psalm 112. These are the things that contribute to him being this righteous character, that when the time comes, evil news, evil tidings comes his way, he doesn't unravel. He faces them. He takes them, well, fine, I'm going to trust God. I've made my choice. I'm trusting the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, except this, I'm trusting God. He understands, he does something with what he understands. How much theology is packed into that? Not always learning and never coming into the knowledge, but always learning and doing something with it. That's how you come into the knowledge, you apply it. If you don't serve somewhere, you can't develop the skill of being born again. You are born again, perhaps, okay. But you shouldn't be satisfied with just that. Is there not more to my Christian walk than just being saved from a judgment to come? Yes. He understands. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 111. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Well, it won't endure forever if you don't have the understanding. You will not be praising God for who he is. You see, when we praise God, he is worthy. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our trust. And we praise him whether the lights are on or the lights are off, based on the inner light, this wisdom that comes from heaven. Now look at Psalm 112, verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. And as a result of that, he says he is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness because he gets it. He understands enough about what this life is, the mess that it is. This life is worse than you think, incidentally. Does that news unravel you? It should not. None of us are absolutely unafraid all the time. We do. We get that. But we do not need to be destroyed when bad news comes our way. There is as much to fear as there is to be unafraid of. We get a chance, an opportunity. I want to get better at taking the opportunities God sends me. I'm not saying I like anything. I don't like anything that's negative. I don't like anything that's evil. But I don't have a say-so in those matters so many times. So what I do have a say-so in is how I'm going to respond to those things all the time. Not just once in a while. Not just when I'm feeling strong. But I want to have a consistent response to the things that come my way. I do not want to be conflicted. Well, that's not going to come naturally. It's not going to be automatic. When Jesus used the metaphor of a man putting his hands to the plow and not looking back, he is signaling to his believers, he is saying, plowing is hard work. Following me is hard work. Getting things done, getting fruit, getting a field ready to have fruit is hard work. So none of us are absolutely unafraid all the time. Think of that good king, Hezekiah. He got this blasphemous letter from an invading army that was surrounding the city, threatening to destroy everyone and conquer them. He took the letter into God's presence, King Hezekiah did, the place of communion and prayer, that sanctuary. There's no place like it, the presence of God. Isaiah writes about it, as well as there's an account in Kings. And Isaiah says this, Chronicles, Isaiah 37:14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of Yahweh and spread it before the Lord. That was his response. Now, there's more to this story, and I'll get to that in the end. But this was a good king who finally came to the place where he was not unraveled through bad tidings. He was not unnerved. He had been earlier, but not now. He got a second chance. Prayer is to the soul that is going through trouble what a life jacket is to someone who's been shipwrecked. That's what prayer can be for us. It's other things too, but that when we're going through trouble, it's a life jacket. It can be your experience. You don't have to have the life jacket. You can opt out of the life jacket and stop praying, and you can go for the straight jacket and just go crazy with anxiety. Anxiety will not stop on its own. It will just devour you. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Can you receive a good word? It doesn't take much to receive a bad word, bad tidings. How about a good one? How about when you say, "Man, I just read the news today and I found all this out. And do you know what they're doing?" And then someone comes up to you and says, "How about we just trust the Lord and not back down from our faith?" Other Christians have faced worse things. Let's face it like them. Do you receive that or you just dismiss it as, "Yeah, I know we're supposed to believe that. But did you hear about it?" And you go back to panicking. Remember when they came to Nehemiah, they told him 10 times, "Oh, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming." They were panic-stricken. Nehemiah knew how to deal with them. Psalm 94, verse 19, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." Do you know what makes Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song poetical books according to Hebrew poetry? Is that one of the main features. They say the same thing different ways. Over and over again. One line will tell you something, and then the next line will say it again, but a different way. That is poetic. It is not prose. And it sticks with us. It works. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Well, if I'm not afraid of death, then there's other things I'm not supposed to be afraid of either, if I know that he is with me. The Christian meaning of life can be condensed into two actions: pleasing God, being useful to him. What is left if we get those two right? Doesn't that not cover so much? To please God. Children are a gift from the Lord. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. And then to raise them righteously, for example. Because he is my God. He is my Savior. And he is my friend because he is worthy. You young Christians, I hope you attend here regularly, and I hope you see me as your pastor, but I also hope you see me as your friend. A friend doesn't always agree with you. That's what makes them a friend. They're not always disagreeing either. That won't help the friendship. But they're honest. What they tell you is going to be an opinion that is not deceitful. As Jesus said to Philip about Philip, one of the first apostles, Nathaniel, sorry, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He's not going to trick you. He's not going to deceive you. He's not up to no good. He's an honest man. What you see is what you get. He's a straight shooter, a straight arrow. But I, in contrast to God who is worthy, I am a sinner. How can I expect to be God's friend? If he is holy and pure, without sin, without flaw, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, how could I ever expect to benefit from his care and his friendship? I don't want a friendship that's just on paper. I want it to show up in my life. Falling short of God's glory is automatic. Falling from his grace is not. Once we become friends with God, once we realize his death for us is an expression of his love and care and promises for us, then we begin to understand what grace is. And as we begin to embrace the grace that God gives to us, we realize this is something very special. And I don't have to lose it. There's nothing that can rip it from me. Falling short of his grace is not something that's automatic. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. That's me. Who's the one justifying me? Who is the one forgiving me of my sin? All of them, both now, past, and future. That's called recurrent grace. The grace continues to flow. It doesn't get clogged in the pipe. It flows. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us from all sins. Consider the blood flowing through the veins. It's constant. Hold your arms up long enough, the blood's not flowing, and you begin to feel the toxins in your system build up, and it's painful. The blood of Jesus Christ continues to flow and justifies the ungodly. It continues in Romans 4 or 5, his faith is accounted for righteousness. God sees you want him, and therefore he wants you. If you want God his way, you got him. That's the story of the New Testament. That's something we're supposed to remember when we are faced with evil tidings. No matter what news we hear, God still loves, he still cares. I don't know how much I've got to go through, but he'll be with me. And one day, everything's going to be better. Everything. This morning I came in and I looked up and said, boy, it's a beautiful day out. It's a crisp cold, you know, nobody around. You know, I'm like that. It's my way. Anyway, and then the thought was, just imagine, this is nothing compared to what's coming. This is leave nothing behind. I won't miss this sky when I leave this life. I won't miss anything here. Everything will be better, even the people, of which I'm one. I won't be so bothered by so many people at one time when I'm in heaven. Oh, yeah, crowd around everybody, let's say. No lines at the banks in heaven, because there are no banks. That alone is heaven. But anyway, it says his heart is steadfast, trusting Yahweh. That's by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained. By faith the elders obtained a good testimony. The substance of things hoped for. Faith is not a philosophy with the righteous. It is the substance. Take it away, what do you have? Faith is our Christianity. It's our relationship with God. It's just expressed by that word. Faith, I trust him. I believe him. And I'm taking steps to follow him as spiritually incompetent as I may be. He covers that.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. You can learn about this ministry by visiting our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll also be able to listen to more teachings from Pastor Rick, as well as subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified every time we post a new edition of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast store. Or just follow the links you'll find at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from God's Word with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.